You're listening to Spice Radio 1200 AM's The Morning Buzz with Mankir Nodula, and today we're talking about a new four-part TELUS original docuseries that will premiere during Asian Heritage Month, celebrating untold stories of South Asians in Western Canada through the eyes of food and wine expert Shiva Reddy. The series is called Not Your Butter Chicken, and we have Shiva Reddy with us. Shiva, thank you so much for joining us. So excited to have you.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for thinking about me.
Let's start off. You know, where did your love for food and, of course, wine start? Where did it all begin?
Yeah, when you're a kid, my mom was such a good cook growing up, but the thing that she would do is she'd never share her recipes with me. So I'd, like, try to get into the kitchen just to see how she makes rookie, and somehow, some way, I'd be sitting on the couch on the side with some chai and being like, how did I even end up here? And her thing was that, she never told me this, but I learned about this later, but her thing was that, you know, if I keep cooking for you, you will always come back. And that it was so true. But, and I think most parents do that, where it's like, no, we're going to hang on to this recipe because then I know I'm going to see you this weekend or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of where it came from, because she was just such a good cook, and I just needed more all the time. So that's where the love really came from.
And honestly, why do they see moms do that, you know? Because this sounds like my mom exactly. Like, I want to learn how to cook, make that dal, that sabji, whatever you just made. And they're like, no, step out, don't. And then, like, you try to observe, and it's just not the same. Because the thing is, and as you've probably learned during the series, our desi food is very complex. Like, how complex do you find it? Because I find it very complicated.
Yeah, I mean, like, once you figure it out, it's just, I find, like, okay, you just go by feel. The hardest thing is that the recipe is never the same. And so that is the hardest part. Like, yeah, you can write down one teaspoon of, like, cumin, but that's not going to be real every single time. And, yeah, and I remember, like, trying to get my mom to write it down, and she just would never do it. She's like, no, it's not the same. But she'd have these very specific cups in her house and one spoon that she'd always use. And it would always be to that measurement. I remember measuring it to be like, I wonder if this is one cup. Never is. It never is. But it was her cup.
Yeah, of course. And it's like, of course, they never give you the exact amount. They're like, you just go by feel. You go by taste. And you're like, but I am not good at that. Only they can. So, of course, I know that your mother is like a big part of your culinary journey. In your story, you share the fact that she has been diagnosed with dementia. So, of course, it's really moving. It seems like it's going to be a very emotional journey. But for you, you know, sort of going through that process and be like, okay, now's the time I want to learn the cooking. Like, what was going through your mind?
Yeah, it was a moment where she was always in the hospital. So I've been her primary caregiver for years, and she was just in the hospital all the time. And if you've ever seen hospital food, it is the saddest thing ever. It would just be like dry mashed potatoes on a plate and then like three carrots, because she's a vegetarian, and like that apparently was the only option. And it would make me sad, because I would see her, somebody who just loves food so much, looking down at this plate on already such a vulnerable state, and she just started crying, and that just broke my heart. And I just wanted to be able to bring her the joy that she brought me, and just bring her her home cooked food. And I had no idea how to make it, because again, she didn't teach me. So I just had to thank God for my job in wine. Like, a lot of it is just memory and flavor and going by, like, just your instincts, essentially. And so I basically had to, like, use that side of my wine brain to be able to figure out her recipes. And trial and error, but it went well, and she was really happy. And that's how it happened. And then during COVID, actually, when the second shutdown happened, with the restaurant workers, everybody was out of a job. I actually, around that time, moved in to take care of my mom full-time, because she just couldn't be on her own. And I realized, okay, well, we are always making so much curry. There's always so much food in a pot, and we can only eat so much. So we started sharing. And then I realized that, you know, she would join me in the kitchen. And even though she didn't really have her full memories all the time, and if I were to ask her a recipe, she wouldn't be able to say it. She would get it all wrong. But I realized that if I had the food laid out there, she would just kind of get into it. And it was just like this song was coming out of her hands, and it was really powerful. And so we just ended up making so much curry. It ended up helping a lot of people, but also it kind of helped us just hold on to some memories and make some new ones at the same time. And so that's kind of how it all happened and why it happened.
Yeah, and such a beautiful way too, to like bond with your mother, you know, bring you two even closer together. Now let's talk about this series. First off, the title, not your butter chicken. I need to know, what was the inspiration behind that? Because that got my attention.
Right? Okay, so like growing up, you know, I've grown up in very homogenous spaces, playing ice hockey, going to school in a very specific side of the city where nobody looks like me. And so when people see you, the thing that they first say is, oh my God, I love Indian food. And then the next question is, can you make butter chicken? And it's like, we have never made butter chicken in our lives. I love it. No doubt, I love it. But my mom has never cooked it. And for our producer as well, she had arrived in Canada, and everybody was just going crazy for butter chicken, and she was finding the same conversation. And it was just the fact that we are so much more than just butter chicken, and we have so much more to share, and our culture and our food is so rich. So let's go beyond that. Let's eat some butter chicken, but let's go beyond.
I feel like there tends to be certain associations with our community. Like, so when you say like, oh yeah, I come from Indian culture, like, so butter chicken, you guys are known for those really big weddings, you know, as you say. And it's funny how people kind of stick to those few things and not realize like, oh my goodness, there's so much more. So for folks watching this documentary, I think especially, you know, kind of like outside the community, like, what are they going to learn from this? Because the hope is that we can expand on that.
Yeah, and I think it's just as simple as realizing that India is just so huge. Not every Indian person is exactly the same. And I know that sounds silly, but it's so factual, because I feel like when oftentimes people hear that, oh my God, you're from India, they assume that it's one specific thing and they don't realize how rich and diverse the country is. And then also, if you're myself, born and raised here, but having my parents migrate from Fiji, their heritage originally from South India, our Hindi, our food, our style is so different. And that was the thing when we were traveling across Canada to such different places, we all had a common tie, but we all would look at each other and be like, wow, you, that is so different. You make your roti so differently, but there's always that like one thing that is understandable. So I think that was very curious. It's a very nice way for people to realize like, no, there's so, so much more.
Okay, and this is probably going to be a really hard question, but in your, like, culinary journey here, you know, what is the one thing you feel that you've really mastered, like, the one dish? Do you feel that you're like, yes, I could make this for tons of people?
Okay, two things, maybe, really. it would be, like, my mom's eggplant curry. Like, that one is one where it's like, whoa, I don't know how, and I grew up being like, I don't like eggplant, but if you put it in aloo bacon, I'd be like, oh my God, this is so good. But on its own, I'd be like, no. So I feel like that's the one where it's like, oh yeah, my rookies, they're not round.
That's a hard one.
They're not round, but they're tasty. I figured out like, you know what, if you use like 00 flour, which is actually like pizza flour for Neapolitan pizza, that gets you like the thinnest rookie. It's see-through, it pops up so good. And so that's one where it's like, you know what, yeah, I can do that one. And then my mom would always make lakshmi mithai for Diwali. And so I tried making it for the first time. It was on the show, actually, when I tried making it for her. It was our first Diwali where she was in the long-term care facility, and I couldn't really spend it with her. And so I tried it, and it actually was good. She brought it to her, and she's like, you made this? And she tried it, and she's like, wow, I cannot believe. Oh my God. Okay, so this is the one. That would be the one.
Honestly, it sounds like you're on your way to becoming a master chef. Here's my thing. I think when we approach cooking, and I mean, speaking for myself and talking to other people who are like uncomfortable with it, I feel when we start doing it, we get very like uncomfortable about it. We're very hard on ourselves and we expect sort of perfection right away with it. So what would be, especially your advice to folks who are like, you know what, I really want to learn the cuisine. Like, how kind should we be to ourselves? Because I think we're really, really hard on ourselves.
I think generally for anything, like that's actually like something that I always say, which I should say to myself too more, but it's like, just be kind to yourself, be nice to yourself. Hey, that's my friend you're talking about. But yeah, I think like it's so malleable. Like, yes, there's those flavors, but like, I think the best way to do it is simply pick one and keep doing it repetitively. And the thing is, you won't get sick of it, because even if you like, let's say, caramelize your onions 3 seconds longer, 10 seconds longer, the flavor changes so much. And then I found the biggest thing is your salsa, so like your base of like jeera, sarso, methi, onions, that's the same. Like, that's where you start. And so if you can figure that out, it extends to so much, which is what I love. Yeah, I think we have to be nice to ourselves and give ourselves the grace of, like, failing, because the failing might actually be delicious. It might not look so good, though.
Exactly. You're not always going to get it right, and I think it's important. But going back to kind of, like, the series, too, and one of the things I find so beautiful is the message that you have about how, you know, like, preserving our family recipes is a way to celebrate our heritage. Can you expand on that? Because I thought that was really nice.
Yeah, absolutely. So with that, like, there's just recipes that I know I can't get from my mom anymore because she's just not there. But I found that through, like, wanting to hang on to those recipes and wanting to make it myself, I realized at the moment that I started trying myself to make these recipes, the more and more I dove into our culture and more I dove into our history of, like, my mom would tell me these stories about her being a kid and how her mom would teach her, or how her mom would be like, that's not good. And, like, my mom would throw the roti out the window. And I would just, through the food and through cooking, I was able to get just so much more for our family. And it would open up this whole other realm where my mom would just go into this world where she was able to share so much. But on a regular day, if it wasn't for the food and if it wasn't for the cooking, she wouldn't be able to even get there. And so it was like the cooking and the food was just like a portal to her past that I couldn't have opened up. And I realized that as I was getting more and more curious and talking to people about it, they would open up and they would share and they would hit these memories that they hadn't encountered in years as well. So it was just so rich that way.
Yeah. And you don't realize, you know, like, truly, food does tell us a lot about our history, our past, our culture. And that's why I'm so excited, because I love food. All I do is think about is food, but I think that's most of us. But also, how significant is, right, that you have this show that is talking about They See Food in the Canadian context? Because I think it's really nice that, you know, you're speaking to people here in Western Canada. So how nice is it to be able to do something like that? Because a lot of folks, like you and myself growing up here, to just see that kind of representation on the screen.
Absolutely. Like, I think the biggest point of, like, wait, hang on, what? Of, like, my background has been in restaurants, and I worked at some really cool restaurants, all of them farm to table. It's like the sexiest term, but it is also the best thing you can do for your body and your palate as well. And we always look at fine dining. We always look at the idea of farm to table through a Eurocentric lens. But for whatever reason, when it comes to Indian food, it's like, no, those two things aren't connected. And so when we actually went out to Kelowna, we had the Paisley Notebook, Amal Singh. She was showing us her style and her concept of how she's literally creating this beautiful long table out in a farm and bringing so many different people together and having food that is from that farm and being cooked in an Indian style. And people just, like, had a really hard time fathoming that. And so I think it's just realizing that, like, there's so much more. It's not just Indian cooking, but it's actually about our farms. And if you look at a lot of our history, a lot of it has to do with farms. A lot of Canadians, or rather Indo-Canadians who started off here, their history and their backgrounds were in farming. And so it's so rich. And even now, if you look at a lot of South Asians in Kelowna, in Kamloops, here in British Columbia, all over, it's farming. The farming is where kind of we're rooted and what we do so well. We, like, nourish people. And, like, that idea of, like, sewa, for example, that's constantly intertwined in our culture of, like, giving back, that is farming, that is food, and being able to see that we have these, like, really beautiful conversations being applied to food that a lot of people don't even realize that's what we're doing, and being able to share that is so cool.
Shiva, it was so nice talking to you and getting to know you. I am looking forward to this series. You take care.
Likewise. Thank you.